Almost everywhere online, you'll notice videos, articles, and news clips talking about Gen Z becoming poorer. And we've even done so on this channel before too. But oftentimes, you'll see people say it's because Gen Z are lazy, entitled, and not having enough children or families. We see population collapse looming over the horizon as many warn about what's to come when there just aren't enough children to sustain the coming future. Is this all just because Generation Z supposedly wastes all their money on morning Starbucks and owning an iPhone? Well, it doesn't take long to realize that this is far from the truth. And as many a band-aid type reasoning over the massive gaping wound causing Generation Z to become so much poorer than other generations. So are Generation Z, an entire generation of people around the West, just really that lazy if they physically can't work more than 12 hours a day to sustain a life? How is it that in the past, you could really just get a job through an ad in the local paper, on only a high school diploma, and by living off a regular normal salary, you could have a big house, a stay-at-home wife, with three children all sustained by just one salary at your normal job? What has led to this giant disparity in such a short time span where people can barely survive today, where the living conditions have become so much worse? Why does it appear that to live a normal life now is just so out of reach for most in Generation Z? And what effect will this have on the future? Well, to better understand this whole situation, we need to go back in time to compare the life of a regular person to someone today. In the past, for other generations, higher education was a sure way of moving upwards in the social structure. However, today, this is just becoming more and more of a financial black hole. College tuition, which has doubled the amount that students will have to pay in the last 20 years, has completely exploded. If we count that with inflation, the tuition for public colleges in the US has jumped by more than 213% compared to the 1980s. Baby boomers would pay about $10,000 converted with inflation to 2018. But Generation Z now, at the very minimum, is paying $25,910. And more often than not, it's often well into the six-figure range, as this number also excludes rentals, administration fees, stationery, and food, which is why there's such crippling debt all over America for students right now. And even if you do get the best grades and scholarships possible, many Generation Z students are still required to take on these huge predatory loans, loans that stay with you even if you go bankrupt. And so even when they make it outside of university, they now have a huge burden of loans hanging over them, restricting all of their financial decisions. And all of this for really what? Unless your degree is specifically needed for your line of work, getting a degree doesn't seem like a direct pathway to a good job anymore. It doesn't even guarantee entry-level jobs that can barely cover daily expenses. And universities are just becoming less and less of an option without enrolling in highly competitive career-focused courses. As Gen Z entered the workplace, it was a culture shock to be expected to do jobs that didn't suit their idea of what working would be. As now most companies need work experience, and if you're fresh out of college, this is almost impossible. I mean, despite abundant claims of job openings, finding work has become harder than ever. The news will always tell you that companies today are struggling to fill positions, and yet countless people in Generation Z specifically can never seem to find a job, even if they send out dozens or even hundreds of applications without a single interview. Decades ago, this was never the case. Even during job shortages, getting hired was much simpler. Advice like dressing well and filling out your CV was often just enough. Even just asking for a manager's time often worked. Persistence led to success. But today, this approach is much harder. One major shift is the rising bar for entry. Before 2000, a college degree almost guaranteed you a good job. For other generations in the past, this was just a given. It was why you went to university. But for the first time ever, this isn't the case for Generation Z. Instead of companies competing for graduates, now a degree is the bare minimum for them. Employers now focus on the top few percent of candidates, while most roles require years of experience even for entry-level jobs. The internet has also transformed hiring. In the past, companies recruited through local events, word of mouth, or physical job postings, limiting competition and making hiring even more personal. Today, a single online job listing can attract thousands of applicants instantly. With no need to apply in person, people send out applications en masse, creating a numbers-driven process that favors quantity over quality. This also mirrors trends in modern dating too for Generation Z, where technology has expanded competition, turning personal connections into data-driven interactions. Both industries now set higher standards due to the illusion of endless options, leading to dehumanizing experiences for individuals, and making it that much harder for Generation Z not only to create a family, but even have the money to support one. And then in recent years, automation only made it that much harder. Application tracking systems, otherwise known as ATS, is used by nearly all major companies to filter candidates based on criteria like keywords, experience, or location. Originally designed for simpler tasks, these systems now reject applicants automatically for failing to match specific parameters. Many CVs are just discarded without ever being reviewed by a human. To stand out, applicants must tailor their CVs to each job posting, mimicking keywords and avoiding formatting issues that could confuse ATS software. This tedious process leaves many feeling demoralized, especially when rejection emails just become normal, and yet at the same time you see on social media all of these rich millionaires living it up in places like Dubai. Even with the widespread use of ATS, the hiring process remains overwhelmed. AI is making these systems that much more sophisticated, allowing companies to further automate hiring while removing human judgment. This efficiency-driven approach reduces applicants to mere data points, stripping away opportunities for personal connections. The result is a hiring landscape that feels impersonal and unfair. While job hunting has always been challenging, the rise of automation heightened competition, and unrealistic standards have made it far more dehumanizing. Before, you were given an opportunity to have an interview face-to-face to at least give the employer a good impression. This is now only merited if you're selected for an interview at all. Data is the deciding factor amongst all, and any good explanations for any shortfalls in your CV fall through the cracks and are shifted to the rejected pile. There's even systems now that only pick up on certain words which might keep your application in the run. But again, the competition is fierce. Even the format of your CV can count against you if their automated system is unable to read it. Then there's the problem with advertising jobs that are just no longer active. As per company policy, while they already have an applicant in mind, they still have to advertise. Or perhaps they fill the position but don't take the advert down. And if by chance you do get selected, you'll then be subjected to a questionnaire designed to gauge your submission to authority, as companies now want to hire people who will not challenge their expectations and restrictions. And if this couldn't get any worse for Generation Z, it seems like AI is looming in the distance to replace many jobs. And if it couldn't get any worse, Generation Z is one of the first generations to have been weakened on all fronts, bombarded with estrogenic chemicals from plastics, junk food, and sedentary lifestyles, making Generation Z one of the weakest, less energetic, and more easily controlled generations in history. But luckily, there is some hope, and that would be NMN. That's nicotinamide monocleotide, a derivative of the B vitamin niacin, which is known to dramatically improve health and longevity by serving as a precursor to NAD+, a compound that plays a crucial role in energy production, muscle regeneration, metabolism, and gene expression in the body. NMN works by replenishing diminished NAD+ levels, which naturally fall at a rate of about 1% per year. A 50-year-old person, for example, has about half of the NAD+ they had in their youth. Now, rather than me try to explain it, I'm going to let the doctor that discovered it explain it, with a clip from the Joe Rogan Experience.
What is NMN? Good question. So from deterioration and disease, they're like the Pentagon. They sense when we're hungry, sense when we're exercising, and they send out the troops to defend us. And so we think that these genes are responsible for the effects of dieting and exercise, which is great. Which what that means is we can now mimic that with molecules.
This thing has been dubbed the limitless pill and can take 10 to 20 years off you. It's like the fountain of youth in a bottle. But the FDA, they're trying to keep it away from us. Why? Because a healthy, strong population is harder to control. The FDA is attempting to change the status of NMN supplements to be classified as a drug, which would allow pharmaceutical companies to control it. This move is not based on the efficacy or safety of NMN, but is aimed at cornering the market and taking the supplements away from you. A weaker population is, after all, easy to control, meaning that you should get it now while you still can. Black Forest supplements can help you out with that. And since they're the sponsor of this video, we have an exclusive offer for you. If you go to our link in the description or pinned comment, then for the next 48 hours, you can buy two and get one for free. So stock up now while you can. Wages have flatlined for the past 20 years. Of late, the average hourly earnings of employees in 2024 is the same as that of 1978, and that was during a bad economic down period. And so while living prices, real estate, just your normal expenses have shot through the roof, the income you receive really hasn't changed at all. This means there's far more restrictions in place that make it that much harder to live independently. And that's why today we're seeing more and more people in Generation Z living with their parents for as long as they can, not because they want to. In the year 2023, nearly 45% of American adults who are 18 to 29 years old are living with their parents, which is the highest rate ever since the 1940s. This used to be something that was completely foreign for people living in America, and now it's just becoming normal. In fact, in the UK, 1 in 3 males and 1 in 4 females in the 20 to 34 age group still live in their parental homes. The cost of food on average was about $4,500 per year per person between the years 2000 and 2010 for millennials. But Gen Z is now looking at 22% more at about $5,500 per year per person. So with all these financial problems set in place, with debt crippling Generation Z, it completely limits them in starting a life for themselves, pushing back the time that you get married and start a family of your own, just because you're still not even able to live independently at this point, as it's simply not affordable. And while two salaries in one household should at least sustain a couple just starting, it often doesn't because both incomes are so low and the options are so limited. Added onto this, rising rental costs that we've all seen. It's clear to almost everyone now that housing affordability has dramatically changed over the years. In the 1970s, the average cost was about $23,000 for a home, which today, taking into account inflation, would be about $150,000. But today, homes now average at about $400,000. This is almost three times as much. This is why baby boomers had almost no problems buying a house. In just a few years of having a job, they would easily be able to afford a home. It was extremely affordable to what they earned, living costs were reasonable, and homes were not really in demand, making it a perfect market. They also had the exposure of a simpler time. They would help their parents fix their homes and get a better understanding of maintenance. And then by owning up all these homes, their net worth has exploded in recent years at the same time. But of course, for people today, it's the exact opposite situation. Now, the general rule of thumb has always been that you could eventually afford a house if the monthly payments were 30% of your monthly income. However, today this isn't really that possible. Most end up with 50%, leaving little money left to even survive. Owning a house also comes with insurance on the house and the responsibility of fixing anything that needs fixing, along with a bunch of taxes added on. And as the population exploded, so too did the demand for houses, making this a seller's market, eliminating most normal people's options of buying a home until they're at least 50 years old, leaving them paying rental costs for someone else or never having anything to show for it. Landlords know they can put up the price, and with so many potential occupants, they don't need to keep rental costs low. Even renting now comes with a list of add-on fees that most Gen Z just don't take into account, leading to people sharing homes in an attempt to afford them but still not making ends meet. And it's hardly a surprise, I mean the average rent in places like New York alone is $4,000 a month, and that's without the bills and water costs, meaning that a salary of $100,000 in some cases isn't even enough to be sustainable. Now, as unreasonable as that sounds, it's a harsh new reality for many people in high cost of living cities in the US. And for the most part, Generation Z are feeling the brunt of this, starting at the bottom of the ladder with the most debt and the least amount of possibility to get paid so much. And with inflation on top of this, it almost feels like to be in Gen Z and build any real wealth, it's just a never-ending battle not to go into debt. In the last 2 years alone, inflation has severely reduced purchasing power. We have 86% less power compared to baby boomers. To pay for basic needs like groceries, gas, and utility bills, most have to choose often between saving more or discretionary spending. And while GDP figures and economic policies may show that the economy is improving, almost nobody's feeling it. Things like quantitative easing, GDP growth is mostly enjoyed by the older generations with wealth, wealth that's invested in the stock market or real estate. But if it's so much harder to get into the job market, and with wages massively stagnating, along with huge student debt, it's no surprise that debt levels are rising at an unprecedented rate compared to previous generations. Between 2021 and 2023, Gen Z individuals aged 18 to 26 experienced a staggering 179% increase in their overall debt burden. This is the largest surge among all generation cohorts during that period. A substantial portion of this debt is attributed to student loans. As of 2022, 36% of older Generation Z people held student loan debt, with an average balance of $20,000. In comparison, older millennials and those of the same age in 2006 had a lower incidence of student debt and a lower average balance, indicating that Generation Z might be shouldering a heavier financial burden earlier in their life, which is really hardly any surprise with all these factors mentioned, and it's why they're increasingly utilizing credit. By the end of 2023, 84% of credit-active Gen Z consumers possessed at least one general-purpose credit card, a huge increase from the 61% of millennials at the same age a decade prior. And this comes with higher interest rates on these debts, suggesting that many in Generation Z are very much struggling to manage their debt obligations effectively. So with all this considered, when people say generation are just more lazy than other previous generations, there's a lot more to this than it first seems. It's not laziness to have a coffee and an iPhone, or to not care about your job if you can't even afford to survive. This isn't to do with laziness and apathy, but more so the fact that there's no reason to care anymore. It's why employee confidence, morale, and birth rates are declining across the globe. And amongst everyone, Gen Z stands out with the lowest levels of worker engagement. Only 44% report job satisfaction compared to 67% of older workers, driving these trends you hear about in the news like quiet quitting and bare minimum Mondays. But this is more just a symptom of a much wider problem, of broader societal discontent and stagnation. And as this happens, so too are the fertility rates dropping. The US recently reached a historic low of 1.62 births per woman, far below the 2.1 needed to sustain a stable population. And understanding these two interconnected trends reveals a much bigger generational and economic shift. The same sort of boring soulless corporate work no longer connects with Generation Z, especially when they can't even afford to live properly, causing 60% of US bosses to report terminating Generation Z employees for valuing flexible schedules and higher pay. And it's the same thing all around the West. Younger workers in the UK also feel so disengaged, with over 40% under 25 considering leaving their jobs due to burnout and a lack of career progression, which aligns perfectly with the broader cultural shift away from traditional life milestones, including starting families and having children. And how can society expect Generation Z to be having large, happy families when the cost of raising a child is approximately $300,000 by age 17? And that's excluding college and inflation driving this figure higher. In the UK, childcare consumes over 20% of household income, making parenthood increasingly unattainable and only for the rich, however dystopian that may seem. High student debt, stagnant wages, and unaffordable housing all compounds to this challenge, not only discouraging job satisfaction, but also having a family. It's why only back in 2003, 83% of people expressed a desire to become parents. But today, that number has now dropped down to 51%. All of this is compounding to something much greater than just Generation Z. This isn't just about Generation Z being lazy or whatever that means. The economic impact of all of this is going to be significant. Fewer young people entering the workforce exacerbates labor shortages, already visible in aging societies like Japan, where nearly 30% of the population is over 65. This imbalance increases financial pressures on workers, inflates taxes, and reduces benefits, further destabilizing economies. Businesses then face shrinking consumer bases and rising costs, slowing growth and threatening long-term stability. Efforts to reverse these declines, including family incentives and generous parental leave policies in nations like France, Japan, and Taiwan, have seen limited success. Cultural and systemic barriers persist, emphasizing that financial support alone can't resolve these issues, and Generation Z's emphasis on work-life balance, mental health, and flexibility has to be incorporated into policies and workplace strategies to foster greater engagement and address underlying challenges. Because if Generation Z are not making it on their own, how could they ever afford to support a family? It's hard enough without even having kids, which is a terrible tragedy. To support a home for a family, with our current home-to-income ratio being around 6 to 8 years, sometimes even 14 in other Western countries. But for baby boomers back in 1988, this ratio was only 4 years, and historically, US home prices were around 5 times the yearly income. Today, the ratio has exceeded even the 2008 housing bubble, which is even worse in the UK, where home-to-income ratios have been over 7 for a decade and recently just hit 9. The situation is spiraling out of control. So then how will this affect our future? Could this really be the start of a population collapse? Well, you see, here's what the US looked like in 2023. Instead of a large population of kids waiting to replace the adults as they get older, the opposite is now true. Even though child mortality has fallen drastically, 50 years of falling birth rates have done their damage, and there's now far more middle-aged and elderly people than children. So what's this chart going to look like in another 20 years? While we can pretty accurately predict the shape of that chart, the reality we're all going to be living in will be a lot more shocking. Aging populations and population decline present a massive problem for societies, but we don't need to imagine what these problems will be, as we can already see it today. It's now predicted that over 20 developed nations will see their populations halve before 2100. The overall historical effects of this will be the same as with the plague. Sure, our grandchildren or even our great-grandchildren can enjoy the benefits, but for us, we're going to have to deal with the immediate fallout of demographic collapse. It means we'll likely see governments try to squeeze all the work they can out of their people to deal with the scarcity. Corporations and governments will push for Korean-style working conditions and hours if they think they can get away with it. 18-hour work days all day every week. And it's something everyone's going to have to fight back against if we want to prevent this. Now, every generation has undoubtedly gone through hardships far worse than what we see today. Men being conscripted to fight in the trenches for years, never-ending wars, never moving anywhere. Plagues, rations, Great Depressions, war would make anyone of the past scoff at any of our struggles today. But no issue recently has been so existential to the progression of humanity as this. It's why no matter what, you'll see those in the top of governments and corporations frantically worrying about the coming population collapse.
People are below the replacement rate in all 50 states of the U.S., even Mormon Utah. The average woman has less than 2 kids. Iran is below that. Italy, way below it. South Korea.
Japan's in total.
Yeah, but it's all these it's all these very different types of societies.
And yet to truly address this, we have to look at the root causes, most of which is coming from these exact issues, making Generation Z that much poorer today relative to any other time in modern history.